على الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين، وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لساخت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: توبوا إلى الله توبة نصوحة. صلوات. In the month of Ramadan, this is one of the best opportunities for a mu'min to benefit from the dhiyafat and the hosting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has hosted the mu'mineen and believers as his guests, and in this dhiyafat we are supposed to benefit from two things. One is dua, and the second is istighfar. So, alaykum bid-du'a'i wal-istighfar, amma ad-du'a' fayadfa'u ankum al-bala'. You people are supposed to do dua and istighfar. And as far as dua goes, فَيَدْفَعُ عَنْكُمُ الْبَلَىٰ, it's going to repel the bala from you. وَأَمَّا الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ فَتَمْحُوا الزُّنُوبِ, and as far as the istighfar goes, it erases the sins. This is where our Urafa mention three wisdoms behind fasting. Like I said earlier, the subject of my speech in the month of Ramadan is about Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam, which I'm going to start in the nights which are scheduled for the Zainab programs, inshallah, starting from this Thursday. But I have been asked to talk a little bit about the month of Ramadan. Several young boys and girls in our community have started to fast. Some of them are fasting for the first time, probably in this month of Ramadan. So we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them the strength in their iman and their bodies to have sabr and patience over the concept of fasting in Islam. There are three major benefits that we human beings get from fasting. The first is fahmul asrar, understanding the secrets. A mu'min who believes and is steadfast on his iman and fasts for the sake of Allah with sincerity is supposed to open up his soul and the doors and gateways in his spirituality towards the ma'navi and metaphysical blessings of Allah that we are supposed to receive and we are supposed to seek from Allah. The material blessings are the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already promised us to provide what is needed to live in this world. He has already provided us, and the wealth and the risk and the money is already destined and decided and fixed. And this is something which is common between us and the animals. It's not a big deal to, you know, to ask about these blessings, and there's nothing to worry about that. What we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we are humans, what we need to focus on, that the animals cannot ask and cannot get, and what distinguishes us from the rest of the creatures around us is the ma'navi blessings. And this is what our Urafa say: by fasting and abstaining from the harams and abstaining from eating and drinking and all the muftarat, we are empowering ourselves to become eligible to receive the blessings, the ma'navi and metaphysical blessings of Allah. And because stomach is considered to be the worst container that is ever filled by a human, ma mala'a adamiyun wi'a'an sharran min al-batn. A human being never filled up a container worse than the stomach. So when Islam considers stomach to be the worst container ever filled by the human beings, this is where our Urafa say that when you eat full, you are now ineligible to receive any ma'navi and metaphysical blessing of Allah. So this is where we realize the greatness of the month of Ramadan. Through hunger and thirst and avoiding the harams, we make ourselves eligible for the ma'navi blessing. That's the first thing to remember. And the second thing to remember is, the second benefit and wisdom of fasting is hurriyat, freedom. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his khutbah al-sha'baniya, the khutbah that he delivered in the last Friday of the month of Sha'ban, I have been saying to you to, inshallah, we will talk about that khutbah, and never ended up talking about that. Inshallah, sometime if Allah allows, we will talk about that khutbah in detail to you. But in that famous khutbah al-Sha'baniya of the Holy Prophet, he said, according to what's narrated in Kitab al-Amali by Shaykh Saduq rahmatullah alayh, that ya ayyuhan nas inna anfusakum marhunatum bi a'malikum fafukkuha bi istighfarakum. O you the people, your lives are under the captivity of your actions, so set yourselves free through your istighfar. That means you people are under captivity. You are not free. You are seized by your amal. Whatever we do, our bad deeds that a human being performs are capturing us. These are all chains coming up till our chins. Isn't it right? And all these chains will appear when a person dies. Right before his death, he starts seeing those chains. You know, and what we call aghlal in the anaq, sarat al a'malu aghlalan fil a'maq fil anaq. When a person dies, all the actions are now chains in the necks. So the same chains are tying us, and kullu nafsin bima kasabat rahina. Every person is under the captivity of his actions. That's what we learn in the light of this. And the real freedom is what is we are trying to gain in the month of Ramadan. Freedom from this world and its attachments. So we become slaves towards Allah. And if we don't go for that, we will become free. What the people of this world who are running and worshipping this dunya, what they are trying to promote is that we become free from Allah getting enslaved by this world. And Islam is trying to achieve the opposite for the believers. we become free from this world to get to become slave of Allah, which is the real freedom. So these are two opposite poles. Now look at what Amir Mumin alayhi salam has said according to this narration in Bihar, that man taraka shahawate kana hurra, whoever leaves the shahawat and lusts and desires is a free. So we become free when we leave our desires. So this is the alamat of a free person. And a free person, are we still trying to do what we like? How to judge we benefit from the month of Ramadan this year? Here's the criteria to judge our own selves. Do I still, at the end of the month of Ramadan, try to do things that I like? Or I have ended up to come to this decision finally, I will never do what I like. I will do what Allah likes for me. This is the difference between infidel and a believer. When we are believers, we don't decide nothing for ourselves. Our decisions are already made by Allah in the Sharia. We learn the pre-decided decisions of Allah and apply. And that's the meaning of the real freedom that we are up to in this month of Ramadan. That we stop deciding our lifestyles and choices and we let the Creator decide our life. So this is the benefit number two and the wisdom number two of the month of Ramadan. I'm talking very, very precisely and shortly, specifically for our youth to understand and grasp the whole wisdom why we are fasting. And this Hurriyat, our scholars say, our Urafa say, this Hurriyat is guaranteed through the concept of Istighfar, which I mentioned in the beginning of my speech. When we do the Istighfar and we set ourselves free from the sins, that's how we ensure we are heading towards the freedom through the Istighfar. So Hurriyat means setting ourselves free from Ghayrullah, anyone and anything other than Allah. That's the meaning of Hurriyat and free, real freedom. Not just you end up do whatever you feel like doing it. That means you are a slave of your desires. So Amir Mumin alayhi salam has mentioned in his Nahjul Balagha, his letter number 53, that in hadha ad-din kana asiran fi aid al-ashrar yu'malu fihi bil-hawa wa yutlubu bihi ad-dunya. This is what our scholars say. We are supposed to make our religion free. We are supposed to make our country free. We are supposed to make our nation free. We are supposed to, and all that can happen if we are making our soul free. If you may succeed to make your soul free from this world and its attachments and desires and your likenesses, that's where you are, you know, you will be able to make your nation free if you fulfill the rest of the merit, and you will be able to make your country free, and you will be able to make your religion free. Religion needs to be freed. Religion is a hostage right now. Islam is hostage in the hands of those evil people, like Taliban and all those nonsense people. Isn't it right? They made Islam as a hostage. And even other than them, there are so many of various religions who have been made their religion hostage in the hands of their desires, which are dictated by the influential lobbies. So there are two signs which I would mention before I come to the end of my speech. Two signs to determine are we free or not. One, sign number one, are we inclined towards this dunya and its attachments? Do we still like it? If we still have likeness and inclination and raghbat towards this dunya, that means we are not there yet. We have a long way to go. Sign number two, are we afraid of death? If we are, that means we are not there yet. There's a long way to go. So, and those of the people who are, you know, who are free. So these are two signs for those who are not free. Now those who are free, they also have two signs. They are not attached to this world of matter, Alamun Nasut and Alamut Tabi'ah and Alamul Mulk. various names and various sciences of Islam. They're not attached to this world at all. Instead, they're attached to Alamul Malakut, the world of the hidden realities. So, لَوْلَا الْآجَالَ الَّتِي كُتِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ لَمْ تَسْتَقِرْ أَرْوَاحُهُمْ فِي أَبْدَانِهِمْ طَرْفَةَ عَيْنٍ شَوْقًا إِلَى الصَّوَابِ وَخَوْفًا مِنَ الْعِقَابِ. Had it not been for the fixed time of death, their souls, that means the souls of the muttaqeen, would have not stayed here in this world for the blinking of an eye, for the sake of the, you know, eagerness towards the sawab and reward, and khawfum min al-iqab, for the sake of the fear of the punishment. So those muttaqeen are not attached to this world, you know, at all. So the first sign for those who are free is that they're attached with the world of hidden realities and akhirat, not at all with this world. And second of all, they have no longer fear of death is no longer existing in their personalities. They do not fear the death. Instead, they are ready to embrace the death. And death was the third hikmat and benefit of our urfa say for fasting, which is that fasting empowers a mu'min to embrace, to get ready for liqa'ullah. Fasting empowers a human being to be prepared for meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the benefit and wisdom number three. Why in the world are we fasting? So this is, if you remember, I mentioned the hadith in the first speech of mine, which is As-Sawmu Li. That's from Rawdatul Muttaqeen. As-Sawmu Li wa ana ajzi bihi. Allah had said that fasting is for me, and I am going to reward for it. And some of the urafa read it in the Sighatul Majhul. As-Sawmu Li wa ana ujza bihi. Fasting is for me, and I am the one whose reward for it. Not that I am going to reward it. I am myself. In other words, Allah is saying, according to this interpretation of the hadith, that there is an ihtimal that what Allah means is that, according to these urafa, that Allah Himself is the reward for the fern who is fasting. This is about liqa'ullah. And this kind of reward is never found for any other worship of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand and practice the ma'arif and high-level teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Ya Allah, 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 ya Allah. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal-Muslimin wa'khdhul al-kuffara wal-munafiqin. اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين